We must change and we must grow in order to become the match, the vibrational match of that which God intends in, as, and through our lives. We must grow and we must change. And so I want to talk about that today from the perspective of recovery. So I want to talk about recovery, but not in the typical sense that we talk about recovery, as in recovering from some kind of illness or financial setback or some kind of addiction. So I'm not going to be talking about recovering from something. I want to talk about the recovery of that something, the recovery of your essential nature of wholeness. Yes?
Ooh, yes.
I want to talk about rediscovering your innate sense of worthiness. Rediscovering your innate divine birthright sense of worthiness. Take that in for a moment. I want to talk about reawakening. I want to talk about reawakening. They said I could say this word here. I want to talk about reawakening to your badass sexiness. Can I get an amen? I used to believe that being sexy had everything to do with how much weight I lost, or how I looked, or what I had on. But I've come to understand that sexiness has nothing to do with that. And that no matter what you have on, no matter how much weight you've gained or lost, that you cannot dress up the illusion of unworthiness no matter how hard you try. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because you find yourself making decisions, everyday decisions, from that illusion of lack and limitation and unworthiness, even when you don't know that's where you're making your decision from. Mm-hmm. That is running your life, even when you're not consciously aware that that is the illusion, that is the core wound, that is making your decisions. Can I get an amen? And so I have since discovered that I've come up with a new word, a new definition for sexiness. And the new definition for sexiness is knowing your oneness with God. There is nothing more empowering. There is nothing that gives you that sense of confidence, ease, and grace, and swagger like knowing your oneness with God. Now, you might ask, why am I talking about this today? Because I'm talking about this because so many people come to me for help, to work on their issues, their financial issues, their relationship issues, their health issues, their addiction issues. And when we sit down and we actually unpack what's really going on, we find that all of their issues have their foundation based in the illusion of unworthiness, undeservingness, and not feeling good enough. Huh? That they don't feel worthy of the financial abundance that they desire, that they don't feel deserving and good enough for the health, well-beingness, and relationships that they desire, no matter how many prosperity class plus classes they've taken, that even in the middle of that work, they find themselves falling off or not being able to be disciplined enough to complete the work because that default, that place that they default to of unworthiness stops them. Can I get an amen? Does anyone know what I'm talking about here?
Amen.
Yes?
Yes?
So, I understand, what I've come to understand, and I'm not here advocating any particular 12-step group, but from my own personal experience and the experience that I've had of working with so many other people, the 12 steps of recovery from a metaphysical perspective is one of the most powerful step-by-step precise formulas that takes you from powerlessness to divine empowerment and that has the power to support you in recovering, rediscovering, and reawakening your essential nature of wholeness.
Yes.
Now, there might be some of you in here today who believe that the 12 steps of recovery are for those people who suffer from the life-threatening addictions to drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, food, and the like. And while I want to talk to you people as well, I really want to kind of address those of you who are suffering from those less obvious, more subtle, life-diminishing addictions to the hardwired chronic belief in fear and worry. Yes? I want to talk to those of you who are addicted, hardwired to that core false belief that somehow God made a mistake or was taking a break when it created you. I want to talk to those of you who are addicted to that diminishing, self-sabotaging habit of procrastination where you find yourself not being able to move forward on your life purpose and your life vision year after year after year, no matter how many promises you've made to yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So anybody in here who's thinking, oh my God, she's going to talk about addiction, this would be a great talk for my cousin because she's an addict. I want to say to you, sorry, boo. This talk is for you. I have discovered that the 12 steps of recovery coupled with metaphysical principles have the power, the healing power, to address those deep core emotional traumas, wounds, and beliefs that the 12 steps alone are not designed to address. That's why the person who wrote the 12 steps said that we must continue to enlarge our spiritual lives, that we've got to go even further than the 12 steps, and that those of us, and I've also discovered that metaphysical principles without the right action and accountability of the 12 steps do not have the power to address those deep core traumatic wounds that we carry around. That's why there are so many people in our 12-step programs that's been there for years who are still suffering from the same grave emotional and mental disorders that they started with, and that there are so many of us right here in Center for Spiritual Living, in New Thought, in our churches, in our spiritual communities that have been around for years and years and years, going to every workshop on the planet, including mine this afternoon, who are still suffering from the same stuff that you've been suffering with for years. How many of you in here are doing that? How many of you in here are doing that? I know there's more than three of you in here that's doing that. I'm not saying that you have not had any healing in your life. I'm sure that you have. But I'm talking to those of you who's like, even though you've experienced wonderful healing in your life, there are some areas where it's like, it's just not moving. Mm-hmm. How many of you?
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because deep down there somewhere, you have forgotten that you're one with God. And you think that you have to do it on your own. Even when you're praying and you're affirming, you're thinking that you're the one that's doing it because you have disconnected in consciousness. And you have disconnected in consciousness because you have forgotten that you are worthy, that you are deserving, that you are good enough for God. Yes?
Yes.
Let me share with you a little bit about how I've come to this understanding in my own life. 31 years ago, I was addicted to crack cocaine, to compulsive overeating, and to every emotional addiction that you can possibly think of. I was in and out of treatment centers for 6 years and at the mercy of anyone who would allow me to sleep on their couch for the night. It took 2 years after being introduced to recovery to just string together 30 consecutive days of clean time. My addictions left me jobless, homeless, and after being labeled an unfit mother for a time, because I was, childless. Now you would think after losing my child because of my addictions, losing my dignity on the unforgiving streets of South Central Los Angeles, that would have been the bottom that I needed to hit in order to surrender and get my act together. But that's not my story. My bottom came by way of sweet grace in the form of a taxi driver whom I had hailed to take me into the hood to buy some drugs. And instead of doing as I had instructed him to do, he pulled his cab over to the side of the road and he turned the ignition off and he turned to face me in the back seat and he looked deeply into my soul and he said, "Young lady, please don't kill yourself today. You don't have to live this way anymore." Now, the miracle wasn't that this guy said this to me. How many times had I heard that, like, over the years? Like, a million times, even from my daughter, who was 7 years old at the time. The miracle was that in this sweet moment of grace, when the cosmic tumblers fell into place, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, the veil of illusion parted just for an instant, and I caught a glimpse of how God saw me. I caught a glimpse of seeing myself the way God had really made me in its image and likeness. I caught a glimpse of feeling what it felt like to live a life free from fear and the illusion of unworthiness and not enoughness. I just caught it just for an instant. What it felt like to be absolutely free. Whole, perfect, complete, empowered. I just caught it just for an instant. And in that instant, I became homesick. I'm like, oh my God, that's who I am? That's who I am? Oh, I want her back. I became homesick for who the Spirit, whose Spirit had shown me I really was. How many of you have ever felt that, where you're homesick for your real self? You've caught a glimpse. You have a sense of who you really are. You just can't seem to maintain it. Yeah? And so I became homesick for myself, my real self. And in that moment, I said, yes. But I'm not just saying yes to getting clean and sober. I'm saying yes to my life. I'm saying yes to the fullness of life, doing, being what I am in this incarnation to be and to do fully and completely. How many of you want to live your full life? Yes. Why you're here, yes?
Yes.
And the moment I said that, the universe was like, oh boy, we got a live one. So when you tell the universe that you're ready to live your full life, I just want to say, congratulations, but be careful what you ask for, because it's on and cracking now. Because there I was with my 30 consecutive days of clean time after I said yes, and I thought I had arrived. I thought I was cool. And the universe was like, oh, baby, let me just show you a few things. And I came to understand that all of those deep, traumatic wounds and pain, I want you to touch your belly right here. This is where I feel my stuff. Is this where you feel your stuff? Yeah. That little girl, that little boy, that fear, that feeling of unworthiness and not enoughness. And I came to understand that the stuff that had been numbed out by all the chemicals I had been taking, that they were now fully thought out, alive and active in my mind, and they were running me crazy. I came to understand that I was addicted to the illusion of unworthiness, not enoughness, and not good enoughness long before I became addicted to crack cocaine. I was addicted to fear and worry. And the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says we are haunted by 100 forms of fear. How many of you are living in fear today? Two of you? How many of you are living in fear today? I was addicted to that incessant mental chatter. How many of you have mental chatter? That's fear, boo. I was addicted to that incessant mental chatter that kept telling me the same disempowering lies about myself over and over again, and I believed those lies. And the more you believe those lies, guess what happens? The more you create those lies in the realm of effect. Yes?
Yes.
So I know I've mentioned the word addiction quite a few times in this last few moments. So let's get clear, first of all, about what addiction is, so you know that it applies to you. Addiction is when you have a hardwired belief that you are so attached to that you are enslaved or in bondage to it, to this belief, this thought pattern, this behavior pattern. You are enslaved or in bondage to it no matter how much you want to change. Say it, no matter how much,
I want to change.
It gets me.
It gets me.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
to the degree that you have taken it on as your true identity. It feels like it's the truth of who you are. And the thought of surrendering this belief pattern, this thought pattern, this way of being is even though it's causing you misery in your life, the thought of releasing it is terrifying to the ego because it feels like you're gonna die when you are stepping out of the unfamiliar into from the familiar patterns into the unknown. I have been in recovery for 31 years, thank God. Thank you. I have been a spiritual practitioner for almost 17 years. And every time, I swear to God, every time it comes time for me to change and grow out of a familiar belief, out of a familiar pattern, I still freak out a little bit. Why? Because I know something's about to jump off. I know that something, there's a part of me that I've become familiar to, that I have taken on as my true identity. I know that it's got to die. It's got to die because it ain't big enough for the big life I've said yes to. How many of you are living, thinking, and being in a way that you know it ain't big enough for the big life you said yes to, but you can't seem to help it? And the reason that you can't seem to help it is because you're afraid. Because transformation, change, feels like death. I'm sure if the caterpillar has words, as it is going through that metamorphosis, messy, mushy stage before it turns into the butterfly, if it had words, it would say something like, dang, this is hard. I didn't sign up for this. I think I'll stay a caterpillar just for a little while longer. How about another 2 years? Where are my two-year people? Where are my two-year people who are saying I'll become a butterfly in 2 more years? When everything is perfect, when I'm perfect, in 2 more years I'll become a butterfly. Where are my 2 year people? All right. Where are my Monday people? I'll become a butterfly on Monday. Right? And I can't tell you how many times I've told the universe, look, this butterfly stuff is a little bit too intense right now. I'll stay a caterpillar. And the universe says to me, the universe calls me Boo. Boo, listen. Your wings are waiting for you. I know who you are. I know what I have put within you as you and through you. And I refuse to allow you to stay a caterpillar. Now, you will get your wings, you will turn into a butterfly, and we can do this the easy way. Or we can do this your way. How you like your coffee? What you want to do? And I find myself now at this stage of my life saying yes a lot quicker. Because I know that God's will be done no matter what. And I don't choose to suffer through it anymore. I don't choose to say yes through crisis anymore. I say yes pretty quickly now. Scripture tells us that if we try to hold on to our little lives, that we will lose our souls. But if we become willing to let go of our little lives, that thing, that habit, that belief thing that you have going on that you know is smaller than the big life that you've said yes to, if you just become willing to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will reconnect in consciousness to eternal life. And eternal life includes all the good that is for you, that the universe already has for you. You will reconnect to that in consciousness. How many of you are following me here? Oh, yeah. Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, says that addiction has its foundation in a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy. Say spiritual malady,
spiritual malady.
Mental obsession.
Physical allergy.
A spiritual malady simply means that you have disconnected in consciousness from your oneness with God. You've forgotten that you're one with God. And when you have forgotten that you are one with God, this creates emotional dysfunction to the degree that you become obsessed with getting the external world to give you the security, the safety, the ease, and grace that only reconnecting to your God self can give you. And this is called the mental obsession. And when you tap into the mental obsession, whatever that looks like in your life, the mental chatter, the fear, the procrastination, the food, the drugs, the anger, the fear, the worry, whatever it is that you're looking at in your life, every time you revisit the familiar pathways of whatever that is, you literally release a chemical in your brain called dopamine that it's not that it necessarily feels good. You are addicted to it because it feels familiar. And this is called the physical allergy. Which even when your mind is saying, okay, I got to get myself together now, I want to get back on track now, you have set off the physical allergy that has now taken control and will ensure that you continue to think the same negative thoughts, do the same thing while secretly expecting different results. Amen?
Amen.
So if you are experiencing a spiritual malady, a mental obsession, and a physical allergy in any area of your life, emotional, physical, spiritual, chemically, wherever. You are, and I'm going to say a word that we don't usually say here in New Thought, but I'm bringing it back, or I'm bringing it up. You are powerless. Yay! You are powerless! So, guess who is the first homeboy, master teacher, who admitted powerlessness? Jesus! Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. But it is the Father, Mother, God, presence within me that does all things. Powerlessness doesn't mean you're weak or you're stupid. It means that you need to get out of the way. Powerlessness is about getting your finite, limited power out of the way so that you can tap into the infinite power that can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I remember a while back, I was facing a dilemma in my life, and I couldn't figure out what the solution was to this dilemma, and so I found myself thinking. Mm-hmm. Any of y'all get that joke? I found myself thinking. I want to ask you, how many of you have just thought yourself into a coma? I just thought myself right into a big old headache. I was exhausted. And I exhausted myself into sweet surrender. And this amazing affirmation came through me. And I decided to say this affirmation every time my mind would try to figure out how to solve my problem from the level of the problem. And this affirmation, I think it should be in every New Thought book on the planet with my name under it. Want to know what this affirmation was? So every time I decided to say this affirmation, every time I started thinking again, this amazing, powerful affirmation came through me. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
How badly do you want to know?
Yeah.
This affirmation was, I don't know crap. Say it, I don't know crap. Hallelujah, I don't know crap. Thank you, God, I don't know crap.
Thank you, God.
That gets you out of the way. That is the first step of recovery from a metaphysical perspective. That is the first step of your recovery, is saying, I don't know, and I don't have to know. It ain't mine to know. This is not my battle. This is not mine to do. There is a power within me, an infinite wisdom, a transcendent knowledge, a divine intelligence that knows for me what I need to know. That does for me what I cannot do for myself. Thank you, God, I don't know. Yes?
Yes.
Say it, I don't know.
I don't know.
Crap.
Ha!
And in not knowing crap, that brings you to the second step of recovery, which says, because you don't know crap, that you can come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. And from a metaphysical perspective, what that means is, first of all, you can't be restored back to something that was never the truth about you in the first place.
Hello.
You are being restored back to your original imprint, your original coding of wholeness. And the power greater than yourself is your real self. I came to believe. Say it, I came to believe. That a power greater than myself, which is my real self, can restore me to wholeness. But, say but. In order for it to do that,
in step three,
I must make a decision. To turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Step one, I don't know crap. Step two, I came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to wholeness. Step three, I am making a decision to turn my will, my little life. Say my little life.
My little life.
Over to the care of God.
As I understand God.
And I like to say, if the God of your understanding ain't working for you, boo, it's time to get a new God, or it's time to get a new understanding. I want to help you do that. I'm here all week. I'm here for private sessions. I'm here to see you. Come see me in the back of the room. I want to support you in coming to believe in having a real relationship with the divine that you come here every Sunday to tap into. It's not about just on Sundays. It's about every moment of your life. Having this practical, deep, conscious relationship with God in a way that really serves your life in every area of your life, your health, your emotions, your finances, everything. I remember Maya Angelou having that conversation with Oprah, and Oprah said, "What do you know for sure?" And she says, "I know that God loves me." What would happen to you? What would your life look like? How would you think? If it just wasn't a concept, but you knew that you knew that you knew. What would that feel like if you knew that? That God loves me. That God's got my back. How would you act? What would your life look like? I want to help you do that. Because I had to come to that understanding. Because I got tired of battling by myself. I got tired of trying to run my life by myself, creating stress and illnesses in my life and fear and not being able to sleep and the mental chatter. I got tired of trying to think myself into wholeness. And I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me. And so when you do this, my friends, and you go through the rest of the steps, you are now at that place of conscious union with the divine. That when you affirm something, it is done, because you're not affirming from here. It is God declaring itself anew as you. It is that from that place, when there is a mountain in your life, that you will be able to declare with spiritual dominion and authority, mountain be moved, and it'll be moved. Mm. It is from that place that when a storm comes up in your life, and there are going to be storms, that you will be able to say with the spiritual authority like Jesus did, peace be still in the midst of the storm, and it will be peace. And there will be peace in your mind. And when there's peace in your mind, it transforms the effects in your life. I invite you to make a commitment today to turn your will and your life over to the care of a power that is greater than yourself, but a power that you can consciously connect to, a power that you can consciously talk to, a power that you can consciously listen to, a power that you can consciously be the vehicle that it works through. Do you want that?
Yes?
Yes?
Yes.
All right. Let's recover, rediscover, and reawaken. Let's come home to our true selves. Peace and blessings. All right, so let's take a breath.